Praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? So good to see all your smiling faces out there. If you're a visitor this morning, we want to make you feel welcome here today. We're thankful that you came to be a part of our assembly this morning. Please make yourself at home. Praise God. We're looking forward to some outstanding things happening around here in the house of the Lord this morning. God is so good. Praise God. I believe it was David that said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I believe, and I've said this many times, I believe that David saw the potential of coming into the house of the Lord. There are so many things that we can do out there outside these walls, but when we come into the house of the Lord together, there is a strengthening that occurs, but not just by the presence of the Lord, but our fellowship together. We're so thankful that you're here this morning to be a part of what's going to happen today. Praise God. We want to welcome you here this morning. Praise God. I'm going to make a few announcements as we get started. Praise the Lord. Sunday, May 17th, we're going to have an AM service only today. Also, we're going to have a U-turn graduation Sunday. And there's a table set up out. You see the table set up out there in the foyer to congratulate our seniors. You can leave cards. We want to make them feel this is a great day for them. We want this to be very special for them as they graduate and go out and continue their journey in life. We know God has got great things in store for them for their future. Also, Thursday, May 21st at 6 p.m., there's going to be a Ladies United Fellowship. Sister Jenna Davis will be speaking at that. And this meeting is going to happen at the downtown at the square. Man, I think that's awesome. We're getting out there right there in the center of the city where, my goodness, where the rubber hits the road. We can hide in here all we want to, but when we start getting out there, we get out there in the enemy's territory, he gets nervous. He gets, because my goodness, people can see you then. They say, man, what's going on? There's some people. They look excited about something. They're here. Praise God. Let's pray that the people that walk around that square that evening, they just come in and join in and enjoy the fellowship and the word with these ladies. Also, there's Jessica Martinez and Blake Edwards will be getting married in June. There's a table set up to show your love and support for the soon-to-be married couple. June, my goodness. June, 32 years. I've been enjoying 32 years in June myself. Picked a good month to get married. Praise God. Man, how many's excited this morning? I'm excited about what God is going to do here this morning. Could we stand today as we begin to enter into a time of worship together? God has been good to us. He's been good to you. He's been good to us as a church. It's time to just enter into a time. It's one thing to come into the house of the Lord, but it's another thing to endeavor to get into his presence. And we do that when we begin to worship his name, begin to lift up his name. Why don't we do that as the praise singers come and lead us this morning? Praise God. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we have the opportunity to come into your house and into your presence. Lord, we pray for this service this morning. Lord, we pray for each heart to be touched. Lord, the people that would leave here changed by the power of your spirit. Praise God. We just worship you this morning. Let's worship. Let's worship together today. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts. Yeah! been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with the voice of
triumph.
Shout out to God with the voice of praise. Shout out to God with the voice of triumph.
We lift your name
up. Better is one day. Better is one day.
Dominion.
just for a few more minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. If the angels are worshiping him, he's done a lot more for us than he's done for the angels. Hallelujah. He's brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. We've got a reason to worship. Let's do that just for a moment. Lord, we're just so thankful. We're thankful, Lord, for your presence among us today. Hallelujah. Sweep over the sanctuary, Lord. Touch us this morning, Lord, with your sweet Holy Spirit today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're going to ask our ushers to come at this time as we get ready to receive our morning tithes and offering. Praise God. Let's remember those on our board that we've been praying for. If you've got a special need in your life this morning and you would like prayer, please come to the front at this time. Ministers and others will come and pray with you if you need prayer today. Praise God. Let's remember these on the board this morning. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come into your house, Lord, to present these needs, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to touch those on, Lord, on our prayer list today, God. We just pray that you would reach down and minister healing in their lives, Lord. Whatever the situation is that they're going through, we pray, Lord, that you would touch them today, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Y'all give the Lord this morning. Praise God.
Yeah. trust you. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, Lord, who will never fail.
He will never fail.
He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior.
Together right now. How about that? Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness today. Thank you, Jesus, for being the fourth man in the fire. Thank you, Jesus, for walking across every troubled storm today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we give you praise today, Lord. We worship the name. Let's thank the Lord for that right now. God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Thank the Lord for that today. Thank you, God, for speaking to your people today. Thank you, Lord, for being so kind to us today, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you wonder, what was that about? What does that mean? The Bible says in Corinthians that God has given gifts to the church. And the Bible says that God will speak to his body through the gift of tongues and interpretation. Amen. And that simply means that God uses an individual, man, woman, doesn't matter who, and he speaks in a heavenly language, and then God gives an interpreted message, what he's trying to say to the body, okay? That's what that means. If you're wondering what just happened, that's what that means, amen. And Brother Dickey and I haven't talked. Have we talked, Brother Dickey? I promise we didn't have any discussion, but he pretty much preached my message in about 4.8 seconds. Amen. God knows exactly what he wants to say and what he wants to do. We thank God for that today. Amen, amen, amen. So good to be in service today on a Sunday morning. So thankful you're here. More importantly, I'm so thankful God's power is in this house today. Amen. We never take lightly the presence of God and what he's trying to do among us. And we will be, I'm pretty sure, Brother Randy, maybe you mentioned this, but following the conclusion of our service today, we will be honoring our graduates. We're super excited about that. It's going to be a great time for our graduates. Yeah, it's going to be a great time for our graduates today. Amen. Anybody believe God can still move before that? Amen. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 10. The writer says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe." I want to say that again. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are safe. I want to preach today for a little while on simply, where do I go from here? Where do I go from here? Why don't we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, God, for speaking already to us, God. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that you are ever present in our midst. Thank you, God, for letting us know that we can lean on you and that you want to lead us, you want to guide us, you want to direct us. Thank you for the word, the Lord, you sent forth. Now, God, I pray anoint this great church to receive your word today. I pray the Holy Ghost would do what I can't do, God. Go before us. Minister, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word. You may be seated. Where do I go from here? Has anybody ever asked that question before? Where do I go from here? This phrase, where do I go from here, fits almost any situation. There are, of course, several layers to this particular question. There is the situational, where you're figuring out, where do I go from here? This would especially for graduates or anyone who's trying to find out what is the next step in my life, or where do I go from here in this project, or the daily grind, or the workflow, whatever it is. And then there is the literal, asking for physical directions when lost on a road, or lost in a city, or lost in a building. Anybody remember growing up those huge paper maps? Anybody ever have any huge paper maps? They were 7 foot wide. I can still remember my daddy and grandpa on my grandfather's table spreading out this. It had to be 5 foot wide and 4 foot tall, it seemed like in my mind's eye. And when I remember that, and grandpa would try to tell dad, these are the roads you'll take to get where you're going. This is what you got to do. This is where you got to turn. And if you've ever been like us, or perhaps you've been with people who were driving in the middle of a city, or perhaps they were in the middle of a country road somewhere, and he said, I ain't got a clue where I'm at right now. Would you pull out that map? And you knew if you were a child in the back seat that your life was at risk, because they would stretch it from the steering wheel to the passenger door trying to find out where they were. And I remember Mama screaming at Daddy, we can't do this. Going to get us killed in the middle of the road, and scared to death in traffic in Houston as Dad was lost in Houston. So we've all been in predicaments, in the literal, where we said, where do we go from here? And then this phrase of where do I go from here is used in every person's life, regardless of what stage in life you find yourself, and that is in the existential or the spiritual question of where do I go from here. It's the questions that are asked. Why am I here? What is the point of my life? Who am I really? What happens to me after this? That phrase, where do I go from here, is asked when people are standing at a massive crossroads, like facing unexpected loss, or from facing severe burnout or a crisis even in their faith, where they're searching for answers, they're searching for purpose, they're searching for a higher meaning or for divine guidance. Where do I go from here? That question can be a scary question, especially when the room of life is dark and everything seems confusing. Where do I go from here can be a giant that looms over your life like a massive storm that doesn't seem to pass. The Bible is full of people who practically ask the question of where do I go from here? Even if they didn't use those exact words, their desperate situations and their broken spirits screamed that question. The Bible gives story after story of real people who reached moments of total isolation, who reached moments of burnout and crisis where their human plans completely failed. King David, of course, is one of the most prominent figures in Scripture. He stood at different moments in his life in a practical sense, wondering, where do I go from here? From being anointed king as a young shepherd boy to dodging a javelin being hurled at him by a king who he loved and served, to running for his life in desert places, hiding in caves, not knowing if he'd be dead by the end of the day. His life had the question mark continually of, where do I go from here? Moses, that great God called deliverer, he faced moment after moment leading God's people through the wilderness, wondering himself, where do we go? Where do I go from here? Then there is Esther. She never asked to be the queen, but she was simply chosen and placed into a pool of candidates. And after passing all of the tests, this young Jewish girl finds herself thrust into the national spotlight, all while hiding the fact that she was a Jew at the council of her uncle Mordecai. And all seems well until the madman Haman goes berserk, who was a very high-ranking official and advisor to the king of Persia. He loses his mind over Esther's uncle Mordecai, refusing to bow to him every time he passes by where he's seated. This madman knows that Mordecai is a Jew and he hates the Jewish community. So he devises a plan to kill all of the Jews in the kingdom. And now this young lady, Esther, she finds herself in a position where she begins to feel great pressure from her uncle to step up and intervene on behalf of all the people. And as you can imagine, the question looming in her mind is, where do I go from here? Because Scripture records at first she is terrified to go before the king because she has not been summoned by the king. And in those days, anyone who appeared unannounced risked being put to death. And her uncle presses her even further by telling her, could it be that God has called you to this kingdom for such a time as this? You talk about pressure. You talk about wondering over and over, where do I go from here? And then who could ever forget Job's life? Blessed greatly by God, served the Lord, but in one day the Bible records that his normal world was turned upside down and it was completely obliterated from his life. And he goes from abundance to scraping off the boils while sitting in an ash pile, wondering that famous question of, where do I go from here? All of these people faced the crossroads of where do I go from here? All of these people faced deep, dark valleys of despair and confusion. All of these people faced loneliness and heartache. All of these people faced real fear. All of these people faced intense moments of worry and concern. It was not all roses and happy times, but their stories, as you know, if you've read the stories, their stories are all marked by great trouble. Each of these few stories I've recanted to you today, and more like them, they are marked by incredible loss. They're marked by incredible grief and pain. These are stories that say, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy. This monumental question kept them up, no doubt, many nights, Sister Lester, as they paced the floor, wrestling hour after hour, day after day, week after week, wondering, where do I go from here? But what I love about the word of the Lord, what I love about this book we call the Bible that tells us his word is our daily bread. It's fresh bread on a daily basis. What I love about the word of God is that all of these few stories I've just mentioned to you today, they all have the ending that I want to talk to us about today. It's not an ending of demise. It's not an ending of you live your life and you never get an answer. It's not an ending of utter chaos. It's not a never ending story or where you are always left wondering. The first thing I believe I need to relate to you today that you must know and that you must get in your spirit. I don't care if you've served God 50 years or if you're 2 weeks in the church, you've got to get 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 in your spirit, from a graduate to the eldest of saints, and that is, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Simply put, God does not bring confusion. Rather, God speaks answers to the greatest of questions that will produce the greatest of peace in his perfect time. I told you of this young man, King David, that great warrior who the Bible says killed the lion and the bear as they attempted to take his flock. That great God called warrior David, who defeated that man Goliath in the valley of Elah. It's this warrior who found himself running for his life from the king of Israel, who became jealous of God's hand being upon that young man's life. He stood many days, Brother Jones, wondering in a practical sense, where do I go from here? But one thing you must know about that young boy David is that he refused, and please hear me today, he refused to take one single step without a road map provided by the Lord. He prayed and he said in Psalm 143, 8, Lord, show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. When the Philistines attacked the city of Keilah, David didn't just rush in with his army, but he stopped at the crossroads to ask God, what do I do? And the Bible records in 1 Samuel 23:2, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord gave an answer, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. It was at a place called Ziklag. When the Amalekites burned David's town to the ground and kidnapped his entire family, the flesh said, I've got to get even. The flesh said, I must go attack. The flesh said, I must go kill those who stole from me. But David had an understanding that when I wonder where do I go from here, my first step is not to lash out in anger. My first step is not to lash out and get revenge. But my first step is to inquire fear of the Lord. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 38 that David inquired of the Lord. He asked, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God gave him an answer, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover. This man, King David, who was anointed king by the prophet of God, he was God's handpicked man. Even after that man Saul died, David didn't just march into the capital city and take the throne, but he paused and he asked the Lord, where do I go from here? What is the next step you want me to take? And the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 2, 1, it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go? And he said, unto Hebron. What I'm trying to say at the outset today is that David didn't make one move without the Lord. He was a man who understood, I really can't walk without you holding my hand. I really can't go a step unless I know you've already ordained my steps. Every time he faced a moment of where do I go from here, he simply inquired of the Lord, and his question produced an answer that came with peace. Let me stop here today and tell someone right now, do not make even an inch of a move until you inquire of the Lord. And if you will inquire of the Lord, God will give you an answer. God came to this house today because there's people sitting on these pews wondering, what's my next move? Where do I go from here? And the first answer the Lord said, tell you, is inquire of me. Ask of me. I will speak to you in due season. Oh, I feel it right now. You don't have to have the answer tonight. I know you want the answer right now. I know you're screaming to God, where do I go from here? What is my next move? Do you hear me? You don't even have to have the answer tomorrow or next week. The best thing you can do right now is just keep on inquiring of the Lord. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to depend upon you, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, where do I go from here? But until I get an answer, my hind end is stuck right here, and I'm not leaving until God gives a sure word to me and my family. Let's praise the Lord right now. Thank you, God. And then there was Moses under immense pressure. He didn't feel qualified, I know, but God qualified him. Under God's direction, he leads Israel. Anybody besides me, it ever freak you out that God uses most people we wouldn't follow? Yeah. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have chose Moses had I known. Couldn't speak, scared of his own shadow. And you want this guy to put on the greatest jailbreak in human recorded history and take 4 million Jewish people out of Israel, who we know there's a bunch of complainers, mumblers, grumblers. He's not the guy I would have chose, but that's how God operates. God help me, I'm way ahead. God always works from the least to the greatest. God will always choose a person you never dreamed to lead. Why? Because God is simply looking for a willing vessel. Let us say, God, I'm inquiring of you. I can't do this. God, have mercy. But where do you want me to go? Where do I go from here? And under God's direction, he leads Israel out of Egypt. And he barely, poor guy, he barely gets out of Egypt when that question looms over his head at a Red Sea, at a literal Red Sea, at a literal place where Pharaoh's behind, two mountains on either side, and to make matters worse, the people who loved you yesterday hate you today. It's funny how stupid you get. I'm not saying you're stupid, but people get stupid. When they get in the darkest trials of their life, they say goofy things like, we were better off when we were in bondage. We were better off when the taskmaster had a whip over us, when the taskmaster controlled our lives. But thanks be to God for Moses, who had enough sense to wait on the Lord. As a matter of fact, God help me today, he didn't have any other choice. It was death or God gave a miracle. Oh, I feel it. Somebody hear me right now. I'm talking to somebody up in this room that death is staring you down the barrel. But you hear me, the only answer you got is either the grave or God gives an answer. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, Moses, I just need you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I just need you to use what you use the rod in your hand. Stretch it over the sea. And the Bible said when he inquired of the Lord, and when God spoke a word of direction, hear me right now, somebody. When God spoke a word of direction, the door really did open and the door did come to pass. I'm telling somebody, I feel it today. Stop knocking on closed doors. Let the Holy Ghost open the right door at the right time. And if you'll trust God, he knows where you are and he'll tell you where you go from here. Oh, thank God. Come on, lift your hands right now. Somebody, God has heard your prayer. God knows all about it today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You study Exodus, Moses, time after time. He dealt in a practical sense with the question of where do I go from here? Over and over. It comes to a climax in Exodus chapter 32. The Bible said Moses gets back and Israel has lost their mind. They're worshiping a golden calf. Something that can't help them, something that can't heal them. They're worshiping at man's altar and nothing's happening. And the Bible says the Lord told Moses, I'm going to send my angel before you. He'll get you to the promised land, but I ain't going. And the Bible says this in Exodus chapter 33 and 13. Moses is at a crossroads. He could have accepted, all right, God's not going to be here, but at least he'll get us to where we're going. And he said in Exodus 33:13, if you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know. In other words, God, if I found any favor with you, I need you to show me where I go from here. I need you to show me, God. I can't just have you take me to the place you told me and then you leave me for good. God, hear me somebody today. I just can't be satisfied. I've knocked on the door so long. I've made God in a sense. I've pushed it open. I've kicked. No. God, I need you to show me the way. I know you've been praying. I know your mind's been riddled with thoughts of what do we do? What's God going to do? But you hear this preacher right now. Whatever you do, I feel it today. Do not make any sudden decisions in the middle of a storm. Whatever you do right now, trust the Lord. God is going to give you direction in due season. God is going to speak to you in due season. God will send a word to your life, to your house, to your family. So God, if you're pleased with me, Lord, I ask you to show me your ways today, God. And God is a speaking God. God ain't hear me. God will answer every prayer you ever pray. It may not be how you want him to answer it sometimes, but he does answer prayer. Hello? Because the very next verse says, after Moses poured his heart out to God, the Lord spoke and said, my presence will go with you. And I love this. And I will give you rest. There are people in this house today. You are tired. You are weary in your spirit. You're barely, as a matter of fact, dragging in. You're not backslid. You're not lost. It's just life has kicked you down. Circumstance has knocked you upside the head. And confusion swirls in your mind about what is my next step? Where do I go from here? You hear me today? I challenge you right now. Inquire of the Lord before you make one more move and say, Lord, teach me your ways. I don't want to be stubborn. I don't want to be a stiff-necked people like he called Israel. Lord, teach me your ways. I promise you, God will teach you, and not only teach you, God will give you rest in the middle of all the hell and the chaos. God will open a door for you
in the middle of the trouble. Come on, praise him right now. Holy Ghost in this house today. Hallelujah. Finally, we see Esther. She's terrified. She stands and she looks at fear in the face. The question screams at her, where do I go from here? And instead of giving up, she calls for a 3-day fast. If you know anything about Old Testament, anytime somebody fasted, it still applies today, but anytime somebody fasted Old Testament, they were simply humbling themselves before the Lord, needing God to give an answer. Sometimes, now I'm not here to preach on fasting today, but I'm telling you, there is power in denying your flesh. There is power in denying what you want. What do you mean, preacher? What are you doing when you deny your flesh? What you're doing, not just fasting social media and your Netflix, that's all good and great, but the real fast in the scripture, when you fast and you push the plate back for hours and hours and you tell the Lord, I'm more hungry for you to give me a word than I am for my necessary food, God. I'm more desperate to hear from you. I promise you, when you get serious with God like that, God is going to send an answer. God will send a word to you. The Bible says she went, she told her people, we're going on a 3-day fast, and she ends it by saying, you know God's working now. She ends it by saying, I'm going to see the king at the end of 3 days, and if I perish, I perish. What she was saying, in other words, is this: I made up my mind, I got direction where I'm supposed to go, and if it means I go to the grave, I go to the grave, but either way, I'm going to see the king. I've got to get an answer for my people. Come on, somebody, right now, I'm telling you, whatever you do, don't give up on God. The answer is coming.
The Bible says Job, he went, and I've already preached it, lost everything. You see him right after he loses everything, he starts telling you that this is how we know. The Bible said there was nobody like Job. He was a righteous man. He was the greatest man in wealth in all the East, but he was also God's highly favored man. The Bible says that there came a time when he lost it all, that he said the words right after this, the Lord, he slayed me. Though he slay me, where do I go from here? Huh? I'm going to a city called Trust. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord is given and he's taken. Where do I go when he's doing that to me? I keep on blessing his name. What do I do when it's not what I wanted? Where do I go when the report didn't say what I wanted it to say? What do I do when I lost my job? I lost my family. I lost people who love me. What do I do when life's coming against me? What do I do when my head is spinning? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. It's not for show. It's just what I do. I go to a city called Trust, and I live in a place called Praise. And the Bible says that he inhabits, he lives in the praises of his people. Oh, thank God. I want to preach today as I close to people who have asked the question over and over and over, where do I go from here? Hear me today. It's simple, but you have to hear me. Jesus is the answer to every question. Where, preacher, do I go from broken? The psalmist said in 61:2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Where do I go when I'm wounded? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where do I go from low self-worth, from low self-esteem? Hebrews 4:16 tells you, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy
and find grace and help to help in the time of need? Where do I go from sickness? James said, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, and the prayer of faith, it will save the sick. Where do I go with my dreams? More importantly, I feel it on me now. Where do I go with the broken dreams of my past? I thought God was going to do some things in my life. I thought for sure it would have come to pass. Where do I go? I'm going to tell you where you go. Proverbs told you, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will show you where to go from here. He will show you where to go from here. Where do I go when all hope seems lost? I'm going to tell you where I go. The psalmist said, he's talking, this is, now you got to understand, this is the sons of Korah. They're in a prison land, a land of bondage, and they say to themselves in deep, dark depression, they're in a major depressive state. They say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Why are you growling? Why are you in such turmoil? Then it says this, hope thou in God. When all seems lost, and I wonder, Brother Dickie, where do I go from here? I go to a place called hope, and I hope in God. Listen to what he says. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. God, hear me right now, somebody. Some of you need to acknowledge today, I tried it by myself, but my hope, God, it's in you. Oh, my hope. It's not in man's ability. It's not in friends' ability. It's not in life. It's not in psychology. Oh, my hope. It's in Jesus. Where do I go from here? The psalmist said in Psalm 62, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Where do I go from here, preacher? If you would, put up Isaiah 30, 21. Rather you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. How do I know I'm hearing the voice of God? I'm going to tell you how. When you start silencing everything that's drowning out his voice. Whatever is the loudest in your voice right now, in your life, cut it off. Oh, I feel it. If you really want to hear the voice of God and you really want to know what God is saying, I advise you come into a season of loneliness with the Lord. All right, God, all the noise is gone. And he said this, Brother Kelso, when you turn this way, when you turn that way, you'll hear a voice saying, this is right. This is where you should go. This is what you should do. The psalmist said in Psalm 32, 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. I love this. The Bible talks about the Thomas. He asked the exact question in John 14, 5 through 6. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus responds directly, shifting their focus away from the physical to a relationship with him. And he begins to say in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, if you're trying to find the way, you found him. If you're wondering where he's at, you got him. If you're trying to find out where do I go from here, just look up. I'll be where you are if you'll just trust me.
And I'm done with this. Has anybody ever said, let's all stand. Has anybody ever said, Lord, I don't know what to do? Anybody? Good news for you. You're not alone. The Bible says, King Jehoshaphat, in the Bible, he spoke about this. He gets a word that the enemy is on the way to attack Judah. And in fear, he also calls for a fast. And among all the people, he begins to pray. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 20, verse 12, at the end of his prayer, he makes this remark. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. And the Bible said, hear me right now. The next verse says, everyone said, all of Judah. Everybody said, all the kids, all the wives, all the children. What did they do? They waited on the Lord. And the next verse says what? The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon a young man named Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, Levi, the sons of Asaph, in the middle of the assembly. Hear me right now. Stay right there. Hear me right now. God came in the middle of them. God cannot come in the middle of you if you're 400 miles away in your spirit or in the physical from where God told you to be. But as they stood still, as they waited on the Lord, God came in the middle. Verse 15 says this, and he said, listen, all of you Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, he said, go down against them. He's given direction. They will surely come up from the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. What's the next phrase say? Position yourself. Hear me, somebody. Stand still and see the salvation. Who is with you? I ask you that right now. Who's with you, parents? Are you leaning on man's understanding, or is it really the Lord? If it's the Lord, just stand still. Tomorrow, he said, go out against him, for the Lord, he is with you. And the Bible says in verse 18, I love this, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed their head before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up and began to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. I don't have time to preach it today. You read the next part of that story. And the Bible says the next morning, God never told him to do this. It had to come from a spontaneous moment of praise, and the king understood worship. The Bible says the next morning, God just said, go out. The battle's already yours. But the Bible says that Jehoshaphat, he set out on purpose, praisers and worshipers. And the Bible says, hear me, you tell me God ain't strategic and God doesn't know what you're going through. The Bible says, after they begin to praise the Lord, then the Bible said ambushments against the adversary. What I'm saying is this, I'm telling you again, you may not want to hear this right now because it don't make sense when you're in the middle of a where do I go from here. But you hear me. If you'll go to a place called hope and trust, and if you'll learn to praise God regardless of whatever it is that's happening, stop telling God what ain't right, how bad it is. And no, God heard your prayer the first time, Daniel. God, I know we got to move on, but please hear me right now. 21 days he's been praying for the same answer and can't get a breakthrough. And the Bible says on the 21st day, there stood an angel beside Daniel and told Daniel these words. We heard you the first time. Problem was, is the prince of Persia, that spirit of Persia, he withstood us. In other words, we were doing major spiritual battle on your behalf. But Daniel, hear me, he kept on persistently pressing on, kept on praying, kept on pushing, kept on asking God, kept on inquiring. And after a while, the answer came. Not that God couldn't send it on the first day. God is God and has all power. He can do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it. But you hear what I'm telling you? God honors a man. God honors a woman who says, you know what?
I'm going to stand strong even when I'm being beat to pieces, and I'm going to trust that God knows where I'm at, God knows what I'm going through, and God is going to make the way plain and clear. You didn't stumble in here today on accident. The Lord didn't use Brother Dickey through tongues interpretation on accident. But the Holy Ghost knows all things. Are you hearing me right now? God saw you when you got up this morning and you wrestled in your mind, should I even go today? God saw you when you got out of the pillow and you wanted to cry yourself back to sleep. But here you are. And you walked in saying, Lord, where do I go from here? And he sent this 40-year-old preacher to tell you, I'm nobody, but to tell you, hold on a little bit longer. I'm going to send a word to you. Hear me right now, God, today, my word is going to be plain. It's going to be clear. There's going to be direction for your mind and for your family. And you hear what I'm telling you. And when you get the word, hear me, somebody, there will be great peace that comes over you. There will not be questions. There will not be anxiety. There will not be apprehensiveness. There will not be a fear. Is this right? Is this? No. When the Holy Ghost really speaks, it comes in a voice of peace. And God will make it plain to you. God will reveal his strong arm to you. Let's end with this, Sister Heather. Psalms chapter 121. The Bible says this. I will, what? I ain't got time to preach it. We got to move. But the reason why so many people, you ever been blindfolded or walked with your eyes closed and your head down? I hope not, but if you have, anybody know what happens? You're going to run into wall after wall after wall after wall. Because you can't walk in the natural with your head down and your eyes closed, because I'd fall off this stage. I'd fall off somewhere off a cliff somewhere. I'd risk harm to my life. And the principle of this verse is simply this. I will lift up my eyes off of my trouble, off of my immediate circumstance, off of my immediate problems. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. Where does your help come from, Brad? Verse 2 tells you, my help comes from the Lord who made. I ask you today, are you a product of his creation? If you're a product of his creation, I'm telling you, help is on the way. Help is on. I ain't got time to. Put up Job 23, Sister Heather, verse 8 through 10. Listen to what Job said. I didn't get to this. Behold, I go forward. But he's not there. I go backwards, but I can't perceive him. Verse 9 says what? On the left hand where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But Job understood the principle of verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he's tried me, when he's done with me, I'm going to come out of this thing looking like pure gold, devil. When I get done here, the psalmist said in Psalm 23, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me tell you, this is how you abide in the secret place. You abide in the secret place of the Most High, of the Almighty, by trusting, by hoping, by praising, and by submitting. If you'll hope, if you'll trust, if you'll praise, if you'll submit to God, you will abide in the secret place of the Almighty. It doesn't mean trouble won't come. Trouble always comes to you. The Bible, Job said, man is just a few days and full of trouble. But while there's trouble, while there's chaos, while there's problems, the Lord said, you will abide and you will be guarded by the wings of the Holy God, and he will show you the way that you should take. Why don't we lift our hands right now? Let's give God praise.
praise together today, God. We trust you today that you know the way that we take, God. Come on, somebody help me pray right now. I know it's graduation Sunday, but I believe the Holy Ghost wants to move in this house for a few minutes. Come on, somebody. The Lord just didn't speak in this house twice today to make up things. He's trying to tell somebody today, I know where you are. Come on, somebody cry out to him right now. I want her to sing. We're going to open these altars for about 5 or 6 minutes. We're going to pray. Why don't we come to the front for a few minutes? I know it's different, but the Holy Ghost is trying to talk to somebody today. Come on, if you're in this house and you're wondering, does God know? I'm telling you, the Lord knows exactly where you are today. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
I trust in God.
Come on, somebody.
I
trust in you, Lord. You know the way that I take. You know the way that I take today. You know the way that I take today, God. Come on, church. Come on, church.
You will never fail.
Come on, cry out to God in your own way right now. I need you, God. We need direction. We need direction, God. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I trust in you, Lord.
I trust in God.
You know exactly where I'm at, God. You know what's going on right now, God. Come on, God heard your prayer the first time. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. In the name of Jesus.
He will never fail.
I trust in you.
I trust in God.
My Savior.
My Savior.
Oh, appropriate before we leave. Let's all join hands with somebody. We're fixing to transition to our graduation part of the service, but join hands with somebody right now. Why don't we pray together? Why don't we believe for one another right now? Come on, they may be walking through the greatest valley of their life. I've got faith for you today. I believe the Lord will make his path known to you. I believe the Lord will open a door of deliverance for you. Come on, somebody. You've been praying for a door of deliverance. I believe the Lord is going to send you a door of deliverance today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, hallelujah. I need you to hear me right now. There is a door of deliverance that is for you, and the adversary would like for you to believe it's the door of despair. He'd like for you to believe it's the door of demise. It's the door of defeat. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, life and death is in the power of your tongue and your words. You hear me? We're not God, but there is creative power in the spoken word of God, in faith. Faith that says, I will not die but live. Faith that says, I am the head and not the tail. Faith that says, I am the victor and not the victim. Faith that says, I refuse to become a victim of the devourer. When you start speaking things over your life, that voice of suicide, that voice of defeat, that voice of despair, it begins. Against the silence. I'm telling you, there's coming a door of deliverance for somebody in this room that you've been praying for God to open up. God's going to kick the door down. I advise you, praise God while you wait. Worship God while you wait. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a God we serve. Clap to the Lord today. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. Thanks for coming to the front to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you want to say again how thankful we are for our graduates today and for those who are going to take part in this graduation ceremony today. And our church is greatly blessed with some great kids. I mean, we thank God for our graduates today. Amen. All right, at this time, we will honor our graduates as they come in. Let's start this ceremony. As a hand right now. How about that? Thank you. I do want to say just here at the outset how blessed we are, again, in our church to have such great young people and students, and Brother Corbin, Brother Anderson, and Sister Emma. We're so thankful that God has placed you in this body for this season of your life. And, of course, our prayers are with you. I did want to say one thing. Brother Tanner is going to give the main address today, but I did want to say something to all of you if I could. I heard a statement a while back that it's never wise to build a house on a rocket ship. And the thing is it's impossible to build a home on a rocket ship. I say that because you are in the prime of your life. You're rocketing skyward right now.
And over the next 2 weeks, we'll hear 1,000 words as to who you are, what you're going to be, how great you're going to be, and that's all good. But the preacher wanted to tell you this today. The Bible says that the man or the lady who builds their house on the rock, okay, on the rock. The rock is Christ Jesus. The Bible says that that is the foundation for which, doesn't matter what happened, where you go to college at, what you do in life. If you don't go to college, whatever you do in life, doesn't matter. What matters the most is that you're built on a foundation that's going to last. Now, you're on a rocket ship right now. Graduation's coming up. It's going to be a fun summer, I hope, for you. I hope college is great for you guys. But my concern or my prayer for all of you is that you would build your life always on Christ and on Christ alone. Okay? Nothing else in this earth matters. The church said amen. Amen. Come here, Brother Tanner. You got your stuff? You ready to go? Come on up here. I want to say something right quick before we get going. I thank God for Brother Tanner Malone and Sister Taylor. Where's Sister Taylor? Stand up, Sister Taylor. For Brother Tanner and Sister Taylor. They stepped in last July or August, whenever the Rhodes and them left for their associate position in Austin, and we were in a tight crunch. He has a full-time business, 27 kids. You try doing this, 27 kids. Hey. But they have stepped in, and they have done a great job, and we honor you and Sister Taylor for these students today. We appreciate y'all. I mean that so much. Amen. I want him to speak to us. He's going to speak to these kiddos today, and then we'll go from there.
Today's a special day for our church and for these graduates sitting before us. Graduation's more than a ceremony. It's more than a cap and gown. It's more than a diploma. It represents years of hard work, long nights, challenges overcome, lessons learned, and moments that help shape each of these young people into who they are today. And I can honestly say this from my heart. It's truly been an honor to get to know these young people and to have the opportunity to teach them the Word of God. Watching them grow has been one of the greatest blessings. Every one of them is smart, talented, hardworking, good-hearted. They each carry unique gifts and callings on their lives, and I'm proud to say they're a part of this church family here at the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. These students are not just the next generation. They've worshiped beside us, prayed beside us, served beside us, and grown in God beside us. We've watched them laugh together, worship together, walk through difficult seasons together, and through it all, God's been faithful. Graduates, today I want you to remember something very important. Your education can open doors, your talents can create opportunities, and your ambition can take you far in life, but your relationship with Jesus Christ is the most valuable thing that you will ever have. The Word will tell you to build your life around success, popularity, money, recognition, but Jesus taught us something different. Matthew 16:26, he asks the question, "For what is man profiteth if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Church family, I believe it's important for us to recognize that these graduates didn't get here alone. Behind every graduate are parents who sacrificed, grandparents who've prayed, teachers who've invested, and pastors who've encouraged, and church members who've loved them. To the parents and families, thank you for trusting us with your children and letting us get to know them and grow with them. Graduates, never forget the people who helped shape you, but more than anything else, never forget where God brought you from. Never lose your worship. Never lose your passion for Jesus Christ. Never become too educated, too successful, or too busy to kneel in prayer. I want to challenge you today, be a light wherever you go. When you walk into classrooms, job sites, campuses, locker rooms, workplaces, carry the love of Jesus with you. This world desperately needs young people who are genuine, compassionate, faithful, and unashamed of their relationship with Him. You do not have to look like the world to reach the world. Stand for truth, love people, show kindness, walk in integrity, and be different. There may be times when standing for God makes you stand alone. But remember this, standing alone with God is still better than fitting in without Him. I also want you to remember this. This church will always be a place you can come and call home. No matter where life takes you, you will always have family here in Paris. Whether life takes you across town or across the country, this church will always be praying for you, loving you, and cheering you on. And I believe God has great things ahead for every one of you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, and give you an expected end." God has a purpose for your life, a direction for your future. He's calling you to greater things than this world could ever offer. So as you step into this next season of life, hold tightly to your faith. Keep God at the center of your decisions. Let your life be marked by humility, integrity, and obedience to Him. Success is not just about what you accomplish. True success is becoming who God created you to be. Graduates, we are proud of you. We believe in you. We are praying for you. And we cannot wait to see what God does through your life. Congratulations to the graduating class. If y'all can come forward, me and Sister Taylor and Pastor and Sister Jenner are going to pray for y'all. And if the families are here, y'all can come forward as well, and we'll pray over these young people.
I think it'd be good, but the Tanner said, I think it'd be great. We have some prayer cloths right there on the podium. The church, how about the church? Let's all kind of just gather around if you could. And if there's families here, you can get with your kiddos. If not, but church, if you would come forward, please. You can kind of just stand over here. I know it's a lot of us here, but if you would, I want us to point our hands toward them and pray over them. Would you help me come forward, church? Let's pray with them today. Amen. We have some prayer cloths here for each of these kids. And there's tables in the foyer for you can put cards and stuff before you leave and some cash. They love money. Amen. So you can give them some money, and God will bless you for that. Amen. Come around, guys. We get a little. We don't get too, you know. Don't scare them. Get a little too. There you go. Come on. Come on forward, Corbin. Amen. Why don't we all pray together? Let's just pray. Jesus, we love you. We pray today, God, touch Emma. I pray the hand of God be on her life today. Touch Corbin, God. I pray for him to guide his steps today, God. Your hand is on him, Lord. I pray, God, speak through him, God. Touch his life, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God. Touch him, Lord. Touch these graduates in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, be with them, God. In Jesus' name, amen. We love our graduates. Amen. Let's give them a hand today. Praise God. We love and appreciate y'all very much. I mean that. I know where the Tanner does and Sister Taylor. And we're so thankful for y'all. And we thank for you, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, grandparents, whoever you are, church folks. Thank you for being a place that people can come and find the Lord. That's what it's about, amen. People can come in here not knowing who God is and see other like-minded believers worship the Lord and find this is a real place that loves real people. Amen. We love you guys. Mean that. God bless you, Corbin, Anderson, Emma. We love y'all so much. Amen. Everyone said money. Come on. I know some of you are sitting on thousands of dollars. Don't lie on the Lord. Amen. Nah. Yeah. But there's some tables out there. Please stop by at least, though. Tell them you're proud of them. But we have cupcakes out there as well. We love y'all. God bless you. Please greet our graduates today. Love you, man. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you so much. Emma, we love you, sweetheart. Appreciate you. Anderson, we love you, buddy. Appreciate you.